We're going to get right into the Word of God. And we're into, we're well into our series for this month. And what's it called? Good. How did you know that? Oh, you saw it up there. Good. We are grace people. Okay. Who's ready to hear the Word? Okay, we all are. Bow your heads. Let's agree. Can you just agree with me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you for every person here, every heart here that is inclined to know you better. And I pray that as the word is preached, it'd be a revelation of who you are, your plans for our life, Lord, the purpose that we are called to serve in this world. And this word would greatly help us in our walk with Christ. And as we walk in Christ, with Christ, that our lives would reflect your grace and your glory. So bless the word as it's preached and as it's heard this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This key scripture for this series is found in John's Gospel, chapter 1, which begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, right? And Word was what? With God, right. And then down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. You know, I think most people have a problem with Jesus. In fact, just about everybody I know has this problem with Jesus. The problem that we have with Jesus is not that we overestimate Jesus. The problem we always seem to have that we are always underestimating Jesus. Amen? Amen. Do you feel that? So in John chapter 8, that's, and in the first week, we talk about this story in John chapter 8, where the religious leaders of the law brought this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus was teaching the crowd early in the morning, and there was a huge crowd gathered. And these lawgivers, who claimed to know the word of law of God, brought this woman, stood her right before the entire crowd, and said, this woman, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says that she needs to die, she needs to be stoned. So Jesus, what do you say? See, when they brought that woman to Jesus, they underestimated him. They underestimated. Jesus was not just truth. First and foremost, he is grace. They underestimated Jesus. They underestimated the power of his grace. Amen? This story of the woman was all about grace, but was also all about godliness. Grace and truth. Grace and godliness. This woman, by the time the dust had settled, everyone was gone, and Jesus said to that woman, woman, is there anyone here that accuses you? Is there anyone here that condemns you? She said, no one, not a one. He says, neither do I. Then he said, go. Go. He said, grace, go. You are forgiven. You have received God's mercy. You are accepted. You are free. You are forgiven, free, accepted. Go. But then he added something else to that. He said, and sin no more. Grace and truth. Grace and godliness. Do you see that? We are grace people, but we are also godly people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Listen carefully. By his divine power, God has given everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the kingdom, eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Powerful words. We are grace people. We are godly people. Can you say that with me this morning? We are grace people. We are grace people. I didn't hear you. We are grace people. We are godly people. We're both. We're called to be both, right? The truth is, we all need more grace, don't we? And the truth is that we all need to grow more in godliness, right? Got to understand, grace and godliness are not opponents. They're not opposed to each other. They're teammates. They're partners, right? Grace leads us to godliness. Because we received His loving kindness, acceptance, forgiveness of our sins. All our penalties have been paid. There's nothing we have to do. We've received a ticket into heaven, into an eternal life. All the blessings of the Father are given to us through grace. That incredible gift of grace, which is totally unearned. We realize what we've got, and it makes us appreciative, and we want to be more pleasing to God, right? Grace leads to godliness. You know, we talked about in week one, we talked about saving grace. Remember Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10? It's for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. So God's grace is saving grace. But it's more than that. Remember we talked about the five different types of grace? It's justifying grace. Because of His grace, we confess our sins and we are just, it's just as if we've never sinned. It's teaching grace. The grace of God teaches us how to live moral, upright lives that please God. It's enabling grace. Paul said that in the second Chronicles chapter 12, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Your power is made perfect through my weakness. Enabling grace enables me to overcome the weaknesses and sins in my life. And it's also grace beyond me. Because I've been given grace. I've been given love, acceptance, forgiveness, and incredible help from God. I give those things to other people. And His grace, I receive it. Now it flows out of me to everyone I come in contact with. Amen? This is incredible grace that God has given us. God said that we're a people of grace. God's grace on your PowerPoint leads us from just being saved, from a saved life to a changed life. If you're saved, you receive really truly receive Christ in your life, you're going to start to change. Grace leads to godliness. Godliness leads to grace for other people. This is the full gospel. Grace and truth working together in the life of a believer. Grace, next point, grace without godliness. Grace without godliness equals immoral living. If you receive God's grace, but you have no intention to do anything more than just receive it, and you don't appreciate it, and you don't want to change and become more like Jesus, you're just ending up living immorally. Grace, godliness without grace, what does that make you? It just makes you religious. Just like those guys, those religious leaders that brought that woman. See, they tried to be godly without grace. So therefore, they were just religious. Condemnation, judgmental, fault-finding people. Joe Champion is a pastor in Austin, Texas. He talked about grace. He said, grace without truth, grace without truth, without the Word of God working out our life, is meaningless. You'll live a meaningless life without the Word and truth working in your life. Truth without grace will make you just plain mean. Right? And that's what the Pharisees were. They were just mean. Grace without godliness equals counterfeit. Equals a counterfeit Christian. You look at a counterfeit. You look closely at it. You study it. And then you discover that it's a fake. And because it's a fake, it has no value. But true grace leads to godliness, and godliness leads to grace for others. Amen? You know, when you judge, the Bible says that when we judge a person, that we're to judge a person by their fruit, by their actions, right? So the question is a person really a believer in Christ? Is a person really a believer in Christ? If he or she is, you'll see it in their lives. You begin to see it. I'm not talking about perfection, but it means that change is happening in their life. I don't know about you, but I want to. I want to keep growing in grace. And I want to also keep growing in godliness. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm sinless. Emma, you might have thought that. No? Just ask my wife. She'll tell you all about me. The things that I want you to know about me, she'll tell you. How about you? Do you want to grow in grace? Yeah. Do you want to grow in godliness? Yeah. So the question is, how do you do that? How do you grow in grace and godliness? Big question. I want to give you five ways. Five positive, powerful ways you can do. Grow in grace and godliness. Number one, here it is. You gotta encounter Jesus. You gotta encounter Jesus. He is literally the face of God's grace. Amen? The Bible is full of people who had encounters with Jesus. Like this little guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector in the city of Jericho. Tax collectors were literally the low life on the social scale. You couldn't get much lower, you know, than tax collectors. They were hated. They were hated even more than prostitutes or, you know, other people than uppers, because they were considered to be cheaters and robbers, and they had a reputation of extorting money, exorbitant taxes, and people left almost, you know, all the time. They were just hated by everyone. And here's Zacchaeus. He's the chief of the tax collectors. He's a very wealthy man. Guess how he got his wealth? Right? He stole it from people. He is notorious. He's the most despicable character in the city. Well, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming to the city. In fact, everybody heard about it. So the crowds in the streets start to line up. And here Jesus comes in to Jericho, and he's got a huge crowd already with him, following him. And they come walking to the street full, and they stop just under this tree that Zacchaeus has climbed up, because he's such a short little guy. So he decided, I'm going to climb the tree, so I want to see what this guy that I've heard, this incredible guy called Jesus. And the first thing that happens is Jesus looks up at him. He says, Zacchaeus, I want to hang at your house today. I want to hang with you today. I like this picture. He says, what? Me? You kidding me? And the other guy said, what? What? Him? It's a great shot, isn't it? Luke chapter 19, verse 6. This is a message. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned, and he stammered apologetically, Master, I gave away half my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages. And Jesus responds this way. He says, today is salvation day in this home. Grace leads to godliness. Grace leads to godliness. Like Jesus saying, wow, this guy is really saved. Grace leads to godliness. He had an encounter with grace. Grace leads to godliness. Grace causes us to want to change and to be like God, be like Jesus. Amen? Grace changes us. The power of grace. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by, what? How? Coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself. Let me tell you, God's not finished calling us. Jesus is not finished calling us. He calls us to Himself every single day. He's always calling us. Come, I want to know you better. I want to reveal myself to you, right? The one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. We receive this grace by knowing Jesus. By knowing Jesus and by putting on the nature of Christ. The religious people, they love the law, but they hated Jesus. Grace people love Jesus. And they want to be just like Jesus. Amen? Don't you want to be like Jesus? 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. I've got lots of scripture for you, so you got to really pay attention. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. Who makes us more and like Him? The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are being changed into His glorious image. Right? So when we are with Jesus, we become like Jesus, right? And that's why worship is so important. Worship is our connection to Jesus. That's why worship is so important. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer is a relationship with God, with Jesus. That's why church is so important. I heard a saying said this, a step away from church is a step away from Jesus. So important. Church is so important. You can't draw close to Jesus if you're only here once or twice a month. A step away from church is a step away from Jesus. That's why the Word of God is so important. Because He is the living Word. No, He's not law. When grace precedes truth, truth becomes life to you. But when truth tries to precede grace, it's a killer. It's law. To talk about that later. You know, the religious people, all they wanted was His word. They wanted a word without the person of Jesus. But we got to remember, we can only be a reflection of His glory and grace when we draw near to Him and we spend time with Him. Whether it's in worship together in God's house, whether it's just talking to God in prayer, whether it's reading your word, being in church, all these ways. Or encountering Christ. It's just continuous encounters in Christ that are changing us. You're going to leave today different than you came, right? Because you're going to have an encounter with Christ today. You're having an encounter right now. You know, all this week, I've been singing these songs. I've been saved for over 30 years now. Believe it or not. I mean, I don't look that old even, but, no, just kidding. You know, but these old songs that I first sang when I first got born again and received Christ in my heart started coming into my mind. I thought, holy cow, where's all these songs coming from? This is the Holy Spirit. And one of the songs was this one. It starts without these words. Jesus, take me as I am. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Wow. Do anybody remember that song? I was way off key. I'll never be a singer. Does anybody remember that song? Oh, yes, some of you do. Praise God. You know, it's all about, you know, I want to be more like Jesus. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit bringing my heart and said, Doug, don't ever stop your pursuit of becoming more like me. Amen. You know, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he said to his spiritual son, Timothy, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. You know, Paul was a changed man. But Paul was not changed because of the word. Paul was changed because he had a powerful encounter with Jesus, right? See, when you encounter Jesus, you encounter grace. And he gives you this new nature, this huge potential to become more like him, right? He gives you this potential. And the more you encounter Jesus, the more you begin to change. He begins to change you. You know, that Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was saying, you know, like, that's like, he's saying, you know, you just don't encounter knowledge about me. I want you to encounter me, right? I want you to encounter me, the person, Jesus himself. So how do we grow in grace and godliness? Number one, I said, encounter Jesus. Encounter Jesus. Number two, turn from sin and turn to God. Turn from sin, turn to God. Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul said to the Galatians, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires. Down to verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. But Paul gives a pretty clear picture of godly standards here in Galatians chapter 5. Amen? So, let's be really clear. Let's be really clear. There is no room in the life of a believer for sexual immorality, impurity, lust, for drunkenness, for wild parties, and other things like gossiping, dissension, division, Jealousy? And if you're struggling, if you're caught up in any one of these things today, then can I suggest to you, this is a great day. This is a great day that you can turn and that you can repent and you can get right with God. Right? God didn't make it difficult for us. You can do that. And I pray, like I pray for myself, I pray for you, I pray for a harvest of holiness. No, I pray for a harvest of righteousness, of repentance. You know? And sometimes you got to come and just fill the altar with tears. You know? And I've experienced that. I want to share with you one time. I know what it's like to come and realize the things in your life to destroy in your life and just give them up and feel the joy and release. When you just give them over to God, you just turn to God. Amen? Turn to God, right? Turn to God, turn from sin. You know, and the only way to get back on track is to turn. But the fruit of the turn is the change. It's love. It's joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God has ability to give you that. Amen? His divine power is given all that we need to live a godly life. Amen? Number three, choose the higher standard. Choose the higher standard. Just because you believe in grace does not allow you to abandon godliness or the higher standard. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Another translation is avoid the appearance of evil. Avoid every evil. Avoid it. You know, get the internet. You know, get the internet blockers on your computers, right? On your iPhone. Get all those bad channels off your TV. Be careful which movie you choose to go to see. Be careful of your witness to other people, right? Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Paul said to the Romans, yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Wow, you know, this is so big. This is big. This is really important to God. And it says, you and I, we will, each one of us, have to give a personal account to God, right? If you're caught up in worship, in gossip, remember, gossip can cause someone else to stumble. Right? Going to a lustful, sex-filled movie can cause someone else to stumble. Drinking alcohol can cause someone else to stumble. Amen? You know, we can have biblical arguments about all these things. But can I say this? Why not take the high standard? Why not just take the high standard? Why not give grace to other people? Amen? Take the higher standard. Number four. Choose, if you want to grow in grace and godliness, choose your friends carefully. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's a warning. And it's a good warning from God in Proverbs. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. Dear friends, I've been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Does it happen today? Yeah, it happens today. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. He's saying that there are even pastors that could stand in a pulpit and preach that sin is okay because of grace. And Paul's writing it, says, be careful of the message that comes through some of these shepherds who really only care for themselves because they don't want to offend people. There's one thing about the world, the word, it offends us, doesn't it? It challenges. It challenges us in every area of our life. You know, he says that they are like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They are like trees in the autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit. They've been pulled up by the roots. And Paul just kind of goes on. They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. You can tell Paul's really upset. He said, these people worm their way into churches, and they erode the standards of God's word in the church, right? You know, there are literally two standards. There's the standards of the world, and there's the standards of the godly. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the only way. This is truly the only way. The way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Wow. You know, I say, choose friends. We need friends. Choose friends, but choose great friends. And choose godly friends who are on the same path as you. Right? And choose to be with grace people. Grace people who are growing in godliness, because godliness leads to grace. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. Paul said to Timothy, imitate me. You know what I teach. You know what I live, how I live. You know my life's purpose. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul said, don't, to Timothy, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an what? Example. To who? To all other believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. That's a call to every single believer. Amen? To grow in grace and godliness. Last one, number 5. Supplement your faith. Supplement your faith. Work at it. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. We list those out. Moral excellence, self-control, knowledge, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love. The challenge today is to add those things to your faith. Amen? Add those things. Paul says, make sure you supplement. In other words, add these things to your life continuously. Work on these things continually into your faith. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are truly among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Tremendous promise. Can I end with this scripture? 2 Timothy 1:9. For God saved us and he called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. A pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Amen. Grace produces godliness. Godliness produces grace. Who wants to be more like Jesus? Lift your hand. Yeah? Who wants to be more like Jesus? Amen. I'm glad you do. He is grace. Do these things. Encounter Christ every single day. Right? Draw near to Him. Repent. If you got sins in your life, just give it over to God. Choose the higher standard. Right? Choose good friends. And just keep on adding these things that Peter tells us in our lives. Amen? He is grace. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this day. The question we try to answer, Lord, is how do I grow in grace and godliness? How do I grow in grace? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to encounter Christ. We need to look into the face of grace, into the face of Christ continually. And if you're here today and you've never invited Jesus, the living Word, the living Christ into your heart and life, you can do that today. You can make this decision today, and I promise you, your life will never be the same. Amen? The Bible says all we need to do is just believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins and that He's risen from the dead. Just believe that and then just receive Him. Just invite Him into your heart by faith. And you can do that today just by saying this very simple prayer. But I promise you, it'll be a prayer that will change your life forever. The most powerful prayer that you will pray will be this prayer today. If you've never received Christ into your heart, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And we're going to say this prayer, and you say it not just to me or to anyone else. You say it to the Lord. He'll hear this prayer. Are you ready? Let's do this. In fact, can I have everyone together say this prayer out loud? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm giving you my life. Please come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me, paying for my sins, paying the price on the cross. Today and onward, Jesus Christ will be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to say, I want to ask you, if you said that prayer for the very first time today, can you please raise your hand? I see that prayer. I see that hand. I see that hand. Any more hands? Raise your hands. I said that prayer. I said, I received Christ into my heart. Greatest decision you have made today, receiving Christ into your heart. Is there anyone? Just raise your hands. Thank you. For those who raised your hands, we have a package for you. And we want to tell you what your next step in your walk with God is going to be. Amen? Amen. Thank you for joining us today.